Is anything real in the world anymore? Here we are as Kings fans saying, yeah, LeBron was right last night when he complained about the officiating and when he complained that D'Angelo Russell wasn't sent to the foul line after getting hit in the face. Strange to say, but here we are.
But LeBron is right.
Yeah, yes, he is. He was last night. That's a fact.
They still lost a 20-point lead.
I know.
I get that.
What a great game, though.
It was a great game, and Denver, they look good, man. I thought the Lakers played extremely well. When you watch that series in that game, the Lakers look physically tired. As the game was wearing on, you could see LeBron getting tired, Anthony Davis. Meanwhile, the Nuggets just kept running. They just kept pushing it.
The altitude thing. You could even see the Lakers, and who was the analyst? He made a point of it. You could see him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reggie Miller.
It was Reggie. Thank you,
Jay.
Yeah,
Reggie.
I think Jamal Murray may be the most underrated player in the NBA today. Drew Holiday's right up there. And I think Jokic somehow is still underrated.
What?
And he is unbelievable.
He's about to win his third MVP.
I know, but he should have won last year. But why didn't he?
Because my boy Embiid. Because my boy Embiid.
He's not good enough.
The same reason Jordan didn't win every year. The same reason LeBron hasn't won every year. Voter fatigue. Voters get tired.
Yeah.
I'm still not a Joker fan, though.
Really?
I'm not a Denver fan. I'm not a Joker fan.
How come?
I'm a keep it real Kings fans, and if you want to revoke my card, do it. I actually want the Lakers to win this series. There's something about the Joker, Jamal Murray. It's just something that rubs me the wrong way about them. It's just maybe because they're too dang good. I just don't like the Nuggets.
No, that's being clipped.
See, I don't pander to the crowd and the audience like
not.
You guys. I don't just kiss up and tell Kings fans what they want to hear. Sometimes I'm okay with being the bad guy and going against the grain.
I guess.
I am not like if
we're on the air, right?
If I was to rank the teams I don't want to win the championship in the West, Denver would probably be at the top. Here's the thing about Lakers.
Did you have a chance at the job there and you didn't get it or something?
No. Here's the thing about Denver or the Lakers. I don't mind the Lakers. I just don't like their fans.
Huh.
There's a difference there. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a LeBron hater. I actually like Anthony Davis. Just their fans are so arrogant. That's what I hate. But Denver... it's just something about them, man. I don't know what it is.
I'm not an Anthony
Maybe because
Davis
I'm an
fan.
Embiid guy or something. I don't know.
But
I don't like Anthony Davis. LeBron, I will miss him when he goes, but I have a hard time rooting for him because he's just so – he literally said, I am the sun. Okay? I love Michael Malone. Jokic is unbelievable.
Do you love Michael Malone, really?
I do. I do, and I wish he was here, and I loved him at the parade last year. They did him wrong here. He's an excellent coach. Your guy Sam Perkins said, excuse me, Kendrick Perkins.
Sam Perkins.
Kendrick Perkins. Sam
He's
Perkins
going back.
Was good. Yeah.
Big smooth.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of how your video looked a little bit.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Sam. Kendrick Perkins said Jokic is the most skilled big man ever. And he may be right.
Jokic?
Yeah. There are players who are better than him at certain things, but you look at everything.
No, he's tremendous. He could pass. You know, he dribbles. He doesn't jump. He's not an athlete.
That's why I can't, when people compare Domas to Jokic, it's like, no, Domas is a really good player, but just because they both have a lot of assists, he's not the passer Jokic is. We just need to be realistic about that.
It's different. It's different levels. And here's the thing, the difference between Jokic and Domas. You cannot guard Jokic. A bad night for Jokic is 25, 12, and 7 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jokic ain't ever really scoring 8 points and giving you 10. Like, Jokic, you could do a great job on him and he still gets you 30.
They don't celebrate his double-doubles. I'll just say that.
Oh, see, now right? Kings fans, come after Whitey because you're poo-pooing Domas' double-doubles. You're minimizing what my guy Domantas Sabonis did.
I'm saying he's not Jokic. That's all I'm
saying. You know
why
they don't celebrate his double-doubles? Because he hasn't had a streak like Domantas Sabonis has had.
Is that why?
Yes. Okay. That's what see.
I just want to bring this all the way back, the fact that
You said you're
no,
Laker
don't
fan.
Go there. Don't.
No, you did.
I never said I'm a Laker you fan. It, don't it, put words in my mouth. I have
way,
never said that. Jay, that's terrible what you're doing right now.
Okay.
You're trolling like you're on Twitter right now. You're okay, trying to aggregate content. And
let me take a step back.
You said it without saying it.
Right.
I did not say
indirect,
that.
Okay, let me take it back.
Said,
how about this? How about this? Working for the Kings, working for the Celtics. How could you possibly even be any kind of fan of the Lakers?
See, what you guys don't understand, man, and I'm going to keep it real with you. You're driving on your way home. You're listening on the app. You're watching on YouTube. I'm my own individual. I'm not going to pander to the crowd like you guys are. Just because all of a sudden I move here, oh, I got to hate LeBron James?
No,
I hate who
no,
I
no.
hate.
No, no, no. See, wait a minute, because there's a difference. Mm-hmm. I don't despise LeBron James. I like LeBron James.
Oh, there you go.
I don't like the Lakers, though. I can't stand anything to do with the Lakers. And not only because of the Sacramento situation, they've been a front runner for too long. It's Los Angeles. They've gotten it easy. Silver spoon in their mouth. Mm-hmm. Magic Johnson, Kareem, Wilt, Kobe. I mean, dude,
no,
can
see,
we go? The league has helped them win.
Yes.
You know that.
Yeah. Stop it, Whitey, because you're a Laker
Come
closet
on.
Laker fan. No. You were a Laker fan growing up.
I was a Magic Johnson fan. I was a fan of that team. And then I stopped being
okay.
a Laker fan.
Don't just make it. But here's the thing. Here's what I say. I am a fan of players. More than organizations.
In basketball,
okay, that's
I
not
am
what you
too.
Said.
Yes.
I mean, you said.
I said, I want the Lakers to beat the Nuggets. I don't like the Nuggets team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't like the Lakers fan base, but I don't like the Nuggets team. Mm-hmm. I just don't. Even though Reggie Jackson's my guy, I don't like watching Jokic. I don't. He's, to me, and I said this last summer. I was on with Chris Watkins, and we had our least likable NBA players. His was Steph Curry.
You
Steph
guys are
Curry's
quite a pair.
Yeah.
Steph Curry and Jokic.
And Jokic. Because Jokic looks like the guy at the gym I should be able to lock up. I mean, minus the size.
That's what makes him so great.
Right. It kills me. How is this guy so effective? How is he so great? He's not the fastest. He doesn't jump the highest. He's not the strongest. He's just so dang good. And then Jamal Murray comes out of the rock. Every playoffs, mm-hmm. all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then Michael Malone and what he did to the Kings during this season. And I know he's a former Kings coach, and I know there's a lot of love here, but he left his stars in the game late when they were a big on us to stick it to us. And I didn't like that.
Hmm.
I didn't like that by Michael Malone.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Bill has been hanging on. Hey, Bill, you're on with the Drive Guys. What's up?
Hey, Kyle, Laker fan, Draper.
No, that's terrible. You guys, Jay, this is Jay's fault right
Jay's
here.
Jay's fault?
Yes, it is. You said I was a fan of the Lakers, and I never said that.
I know. Hey, you know what? As you explained yourself when I was on hold, I got it more. I don't care if Jesus Christ himself played on the Lakers. I would never be a fan or root for them ever. Then I love a lot of the players on that team and previous teams, but I just can't bring myself to root for that team because I'm a Kings fan. I think the thing about Joker is that he's underwhelming when you watch him. It's not that he's a great player, but he's not flair. He doesn't have any flair. He's not like these other players like Curry and guys that walk and shake their shoulders as they knock a 3-pointer down. So maybe that's why people just don't think he's as good as he really is. What do you think? I don't know.
Yeah.
Thank you,
he's
Bill.
Not flashy or anything
Until
like that.
Until he passes the ball.
Until he passes
but he
the ball.
But he doesn't, yeah, yeah.
You know what it is, too?
You see his brother punch somebody?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I didn't like that. But you know what it is about Jokic? I'm going to be a hater right now. And somebody tweeted this out. I forget who it was.
Real hate, man. That's like an art form.
I'm very good at it. If he wins this championship, again, MVP, somebody said, then we got to start having a conversation about him being among the all-time greats.
Absolutely.
I'm not just going to let people in the club like that. That's the thing. I'm against that. Like,
okay, but if, let's say, he's going to be the MVP this year, right?
Almost three-time over. MVP.
No, three-time SGA is going to win.
SGA, I tell you, SGA
should win. He should
this
win.
Year. SGA should win
he
the MVP.
Well, wait and see. Possibly, he could be. A
Who should win
MVP.
The MVP?
I think Jokic.
Wow.
SGA finished ahead of him in the standings, and he has less talent on his team, SGA does.
Uh-huh. I just don't think he's as good as Jokic. We'll see. They're both finalists, so who knows? But he could be a three-time MVP, and he could be a two-time champion. So, and he clearly leads that team. So if it comes to that, and you guys are right, maybe he's not the MVP this year, why would you have a problem just considering him relative to the other greats?
Well, for me, I would say he got started a little later. Like his first couple of 2-3 years, nobody even knew who this guy was for the most part. Like he was an up-and-coming guy. I think
yeah. Well, he's a second-round pick. You're right.
I think the greats, you know, the Jordans, the LeBrons, the Kobes, the Wilts, the Kareems, the Steph Currys, like all those guys, right out the gate, the pressure was on them, and they had to be great.
And I think you have to have a decade of greatness. It can't just be a 5-year stretch. No. You, okay. Everybody he just named were great for a decade.
Uh-huh.
Magic, nine finals in 12 years. LeBron, 20 years. Jordan, he was great for more. Kobe, 5 championships.
Right. Well, give him Jokic, time. He's only been in the league a decade, so give him a few more years.
Right, but you
decade's
just said.
A long time, throw him in. Though, man. That's
like,
10 years.
It gotta be, you got to be the 2 championships ain't going to get it done.
Okay, two on champions. Top of. 2 MVPs and a Finals MVP, maybe 3 MVPs.
That's not top 10. That's not top 10 for me.
Wait, you just said, okay, you didn't say top 10. You said
among the all-time greats. Yeah, to me, that I'm talking about the pantheon.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about.
There's something else about him that you don't like. I don't know what it is, but there's some other.
I
understand if it's like you look at him, and we all, not you, but you look at him and go, there's no way that guy's one of the best basketball
right.
players ever.
It just.
But then it's what he does.
Right. It's just, he seems like he should be able to be stopped.
Yeah.
But he just, you know what I mean, Jay?
It's like,
how is this guy scoring? And he's great, man. He's great. Yeah, let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get off this Lakers stuff, because that's, I don't.
No, we'll return to that, too.
No, but I mean.
We got to find that Anthony Davis sound for, you know, Drake loves AD.
I love that. Anthony Davis is my guy. I'm a big Anthony Davis.
Man, you got a lot of folks on that Lakers squad.
Dude, Anthony Davis was at Kentucky my last year when I worked in Louisville.
Uh-huh.
He was a freshman at Kentucky. Come on, man.
So,
or he was a couple of years later, he won the champ. Like, come on, I was always an Anthony Davis.
Do you think right now, looking at both their careers, I'm not trying to trap you, I'm not going to yell at you.
I can't
be trapped.
Do
you think Anthony Davis is, we'll see. You think Anthony Davis is better than Jokic?
No. No, Jokic is better.
Okay.
Like, it's clear Jokic. I'm watching the game.
Anthony Davis is a freaking great
He was
player.
Dominating last night, too, and then he, you know, ran out of gas. The thing about Jokic, he's great. There's no doubt about it. But I just don't know how he's great.
Okay, that's
like,
fair.
Like, I he's a great passer, yes. Basketball IQ is high. He's not necessarily a great shooter. He does have good footwork.
I think he's a really good shooter.
He's a good shooter. He's all right. He's a good shooter. He doesn't have to take a whole lot, though. He's just really, really good. But I don't know, man. It's just hard for me to hand him the keys to the kingdom of Larry Bird, Jordan, Magic, you know,
Kobe.
Kobe.
There's a lot
Tim
of people
Duncan,
still way
five
in front
championships.
Of him,
like, 2 championships ain't going to get it done, Jokic. He has to. He's had a great 5-year run.
Mm-hmm.
I need a decade, because everybody I just mentioned, they were at the top for a decade.
So really what you're saying is you can't consider him one of the 10 best players of all time. See, when you say, originally you said.
Among the all-time greats.
If he wins this year, we have to compare him to the all-time greats.
Yeah.
To me, we're already doing that, but you're saying.
To me, the all-time greats are
top 10.
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay.
Like, is Kevin Garnett an all-time great? Yes, but he's probably top 25 of all time.
Yes, I'd agree.
Yeah, so, I mean, but Jokic has had a better career than him.
You want to talk to TC?
Yeah, let's go, TC. Yeah. I need TC.
TC joins us here. Is it time for Check It with TC, Sacktown Sports? TC, how are you?
Mike, check.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, check it, man. What's up with my guys?
What's up, TC?
Hey, man, just vibing Jay in the back. What's up, bro? Whitey, hey, look, first and foremost, Jokic is one of those dudes, right? Jokic is one of those dudes, like you said, you should lock up. Jokic grew on me, like, a couple years ago. I didn't always like dude, but he grew on me. So, hey, I respect his game. You get me, Drake? You got to respect his game. You ain't got to like him, but you got to respect his game. Dude is a dog. In my opinion, Shea should win an MVP. Shea's a dog. Shea is averaging 30 a game. What we want our boy De'Aaron to do instead of doing up and down games. Shea is a guy, whether how he gets it, he gets it. Fox, that's how you need to be next season. If you want to average 26, average 26 every game. Not I averaged 30 this game, then I had 6, then I came back and dropped 22. No, bro, be consistent. That dude was consistent no matter how you look at it. As far as Monk, check it out, Kings fans. I love Monk. I got the Monk statement jersey hanging up in my closet right now. Dude, I believe he'll be back. But if he's not back, Jay, I'm with you. It's not the end of the world. It won't be the end of the world. This is going to be a team game, and we're going to get better as a team. Monk, we love you, bro. Come back, please. But I guarantee you guys, if he leaves, it won't be the end of the world. The Mike Brown being fired, that's idiotic. That's ridiculous. Anybody, any media, any Kings fan, any coach that thinks Mike Brown should leave or be on any type of hot seat, that's absolutely ridiculous. This dude turned the culture around in Sacramento. He brought us back. He put us back on the map, bro. I know I'm jumping around, but listen, I'm venting. I'm still emotional, bro. I'm going to be emotional about this game. I'm jaded, but I'm being honest with everything I said, bro. Mike is not going anywhere. If Mike got fired today and we didn't extend that dude, bro, it's over for the Kings. That's all I got.
Thank you, TC. You thought any more about how much you'd pay Mike Brown? We talked about it yesterday.
I'd give Mike Brown whatever it takes to keep him.
Okay. I thought you said yesterday 10 was a little rich for your blood.
It is rich for my blood, but if that's what it takes, it takes. Okay. You know, I'm not going to sweat it. Uh-huh. Like, he has to stay here as coach. And I don't even know why we're having this discussion. You know, and I understand. There's no indication that Mike Brown is going to be gone from Sacramento.
Yeah, well, he's not getting fired.
Right.
But there's an issue about whether the Kings will extend him in a period when typically coaches are extended.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of smoke and no fire. This is an off-season drama that's trying to be created.
If it was in Bleacher Report or something, maybe. But Sam and Slates,
I'm not buying it. Those are my guys, but I'm not buying this one.
Rock solid.
Do you guys think it is a Mike Brown party that kind of threw that out there? I thought about it last night, and I was like, I could see that coming from the Mike Brown crew.
Right. Maybe it's a negotiating ploy from Mike Brown's side.
Yeah.
Maybe you might be right. I could see that.
That would make sense, but I think they cited as an organizational source.
Did they?
I'd have to double check, which still could be somebody who's sympathetic to Mike Brown.
Yeah. I honestly.
That's Jordy on the way out.
I think it's a non-story because I fully believe he will be here for the long term. I don't think, unless it's performance related, I don't think the financial aspect will be the reason Mike Brown is not the coach here in Sacramento.
See, they say, I know we talked about this yesterday and the story was yesterday, dangerous games. What's next for Mike Brown, Vivek Ranadive, and the Kings, Anthony Slater, Sam Amick. And they said the dangerous part of it is that, well, if they don't get this resolve with the coach, it could turn into something. And those guys are just not
going to. It could turn into something.
It could be a distraction. Of course.
I could name the Kings coach in 50 years. It could be a distraction.
Team sources say there's been a wait-and-see approach from the ownership side to this point, with a feeling from those around the franchise that singular results could weigh heavily in future decision-making. That doesn't sound like it'd be coming
from
Mike
Brown. Say that again. Can you read that again?
Yes, of course. Team sources say there's been a wait-and-see approach from the ownership side, with a feeling from those around the franchise that singular results, like you beat the Warriors, great. Oh, you lost to the Pelicans, could weigh heavily in future decision-making. And then they say their opinion, that's a dangerous game to play. Ranadive has not yet approached Brown with an extension offer. Both sides have known for months now that this discussion was nearing. So to me, that's not nothing. And it may end up being, they sign him, it's fine. Yeah, but that's why, to answer your question, that's why we're talking about.
I'm not going to entertain that a day after the season ends or 2 days or whatever like that. I mean, it's now, if this was going into the final year, if this was, October or August and nothing's happened.
It is going into the final year.
No, nah, but
the
fourth year's listen to what I'm saying. Whatever they wrote, I'm not buying. How about that?
Yeah.
You know, great writers, great guy. I'm not buying that story at all, Kings fans.
And I'm telling you, there's good reason to
so
buy.
So you don't think the Kings are in on Mike Brown in terms of re-signing him? You think they're afraid of the contract and the money that it would take to re-sign Mike? Like, there's some hesitancy on their part.
I'm trying
to figure out what this story is actually saying.
The story is saying that there's information. You want to know what I think or what the story says?
I still don't know what that story is really saying. It's a lot of conjecture in there. There's no concrete. Put a name to a source. Give me something more it could lead than it could lead to a distraction. We all know that. That's nothing. Now, if this was July and then no contract talks, then I'd be like, well, what are we waiting on? I don't know. I just don't like this story at all.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it, man.
Well, that's why we're talking about it.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah. And hopefully the Kings look at it and go, yeah, we'll get this taken care of and it will be no problem. I have to admit, this is a franchise with a history of botching these situations.
It is. It 100% is. But I will also say this is a franchise that hasn't had this history since Rick Adelman, hasn't had this level of success.
Correct.
As great as Mike Malone was here, as great as Dave Yeager was, like, they haven't had this kind of success. And if I'm correct, the narrative regarding Vivek was his meddling before I got here. I haven't heard that in the last couple of years.
I don't know.
I'm just not buying it. I think...
Because it's not, you don't think it's well-sourced enough.
I don't think it's well-sourced enough. I don't think, when you look at Mike
Brown. And you
don't
like it because it casts a less than favorable light on the franchise based on information that you feel is not that solid.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like the way Mike Brown has conducted himself, he has been the model coach. Mm-hmm. He has been the guy you want out front and center. He has been, in my opinion, and this is no inside story, but just knowing Vivek and some of the stuff he's done in the past, he has been the perfect coach for this Sacramento organization, both on and off the court. There's not a single person in that organization that will say anything negative about Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike Brown doesn't rub people the wrong way. Mike Brown doesn't, when you walk in the building, he walks in, you straighten up and get scared. Mike Brown is an embracer of Pete. That's why I'm not buying this right now. Maybe they know something I don't. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll get it settled soon. And I would say what you just said, Mike Brown, since he's been here, has been exemplary. You could say that about Monty and Vivek as well, right? I mean, since he's been here,
everybody
across the board.
Exactly. And
we know what it looks like when it's not that way.
And if I'm correct, before Monty got his extension, there's talk, when's Monty's extension going to come? I think with Mike Brown, it'll be taken care of the same way it was taken care of for Monty McNair.
Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed. When we come back, if the Kings are swinging for the fences in a trade, what do you need? Maybe we can't name a guy. Maybe we can. But what do you need from the guy you get back? Also want to say Howard Beck, who wrote a very interesting piece about the Kings and the Ringer. He joins us top of the hour as we roll on here. Drive guys, Zach Towns. I suggested some earlier today, and I'm hoping we get from Mr. Draper. Maybe not today. I don't know. At some point here before the end of the week, I'm hoping. Because it's not something you can just,
throw it out there.
I understand that.
I got to put some time and prep.
I didn't even know if you had any interest in doing it.
Nah, I'm down.
I'm hoping, I don't know where Jay is on this. I'm guessing Jay would love to hear this too. At some point, maybe this week, we get a state of the Kings address from Kyle.
I can give you that. How about that? I can give you that. Can we do this tomorrow?
Because, we can do it whenever you want.
Let's do it tomorrow because Mike Brown and Monty McNair are holding a press conference tomorrow. They're meeting with the media. So sort of a perfect time.
That would be perfect.
We'll hear from them. You'll hear from me kind of thing. You know, we could do it tomorrow.
If they hear about you, then they're probably going to say, well, we're not good. Kyle will just talk for us.
Yeah, right. They may want to beat me to the punch, right? Get their message out before mine. But I got some things that I want to get off my chest regarding this team.
Yes. Now, it's kind of like the presidential address. And when they have the presidential address, they have somebody from the other party then has to do like a rebuttal.
So, who would that be? You?
Maybe.
I'm sure. You're setting me up right now.
If somebody
you're
has setting to me do up. It, no, that would be very you know, if you say all of how great things are, and then I got to go, well, things aren't that great. It's not going to be well received,
right? Because I got to send hope and inspire yes. Kings Nation.
Yes,
it'll be all right, and that's how I'm gonna come tomorrow.
Yeah. What can you give us just in a word? I know you haven't had this speech written yet. The state of the Kings is what right now, in your opinion?
The state of the Kings right now. Yes.
Promising.
Exactly. Optimistic, hopeful, promising. Yes. You know, as bad as the season ended, things are looking up for Sacramento. Because you also have to remember where things were when I took over office versus now. You know, things have changed dramatically from when the last 4 years since
mm-hmm.
I got here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And that's why I was talking about some of those tough off seasons earlier. This season, as disappointing as it feels, is nothing like, oh, the Kings are leaving or, oh, Weber's leaving. You know, we're still,
right.
It was like, oh, thought they were going to be better this year, but there's every reason to think they're still on track to being good.
Right.
I mean, Howard Beck, we're going to talk to him in a little bit. He says, Kings will most assuredly be back in the mix.
Exactly. And De'Aaron talked about it. 46 wins is a disappointment now in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. How great is that? 5 years ago, we would have loved that 46
oh,
wins.
Yeah.
The bar has parade been time. Raised. Exactly. It would have been parade time. The bar has been raised with the Sacramento Kings. And we should be optimistic, hopeful, you know, about that going forward. And this is just a little bit of my inaugural address or State of the Union tomorrow.
Try it out a little bit. Yeah, sure.
Our two studs are just now entering their prime. So good things are still to come mm-hmm. with this team. They're, you know, if they were a stock, I'd still buy in on it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, I'm not, like, I'd sell the Lakers right now. I'd sell Phoenix right now. I'd sell Golden State. I'm still buying Sacramento Kings stock right now.
I don't know if you remember, but weeks ago, might have been March, we were talking about that, and I said, I'm not buying any stock in the Mavericks. I lost some money on that.
I know, but you lost some money. You want to get in now on them? You want to, no, you know?
Is Kawhi playing or not tonight? Right.
I think he is, actually. Yeah.
So if the Kings are going to make a trade, we don't know if they are, but if they were going to make a trade, what do you think they need back? And we can get as specific as we want, but just in terms of, if I'm going to spend all that capital on bringing a star back, what do I need to get from that player?
Well, our boy Joe DeRose is putting together a compilation. He went around asking everybody the Kings' offseason needs. And one of the things I said was another ball handler / playmaker. Somebody that can, A, get buckets and also create buckets for other people. We got De'Aaron, Domas, Malik, if he's back. But a guy like Zach LaVine, I keep bringing him up. Zach LaVine would be perfect for this team. I don't think Zach LaVine would want to come in and be the top dog and take shine from De'Aaron Fox, guy that can get you 20 points, a guy that you have to respect from a defensive standpoint. You got to guard him, a playmaker, a guy that can get downhill, get to the free throw line. You need an impact offensive player. I don't think it's just a 3-and-D guy. I don't need another one-dimensional perimeter player.
Well, 3-and-D is two-dimensional.
No, but I'm talking on the offensive end, one-dimensional offensively, a catch-and-shoot guy. Mm-hmm. I need a guy that can also create, because I felt like towards the end of the season, we did not have enough creators. We saw what happened once Malik Monk went out. The guy that sets up Domas wasn't there. Domas' numbers went down. You know, you need somebody else that can create offense on the Sacramento Kings team.
Mm-hmm. My answer to that question, is that posted yet? I think it's going to be posted.
It's today, he said, I think, or tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they need shooting. I'm not disagreeing with you,
okay.
But, you know, this is a team.
That too.
That, as we've said, their offense is set up. They're running an offense that's designed for good shooters.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically kind of what Orlando ran in 2009 when they had Dwight Howard, and then they had, you know, Rashard Lewis and Jameer Nelson, and they had Hedo and Patris and those guys, bombs away. And it's what the Warriors have run. And so last year you had great shooters. They went out. They got a Monk. He's a good shooter. They got Herter, good shooter. And this year they just didn't shoot well.
Let me ask you this then. Do they need shooting, or do they need their guys to start making shots like they did last year? Or what we saw this year is more who they really are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
Like it was it just a down year for those guys?
To me, every team could use more shooting, no matter who you are. And given that I have questions about, are my guys really good shooters who had bad years, or maybe they weren't as good as they were the first year? Because I don't know, I would want to add shooting.
And I look at shooting as something you can get in the draft. You look at Sam Hauser, Duncan Robinson. Like, those kind of guys are available in the draft. Connect, I mentioned, out of Tennessee yesterday. You know, I think you get on the free agent market, that's kind of pricey, I think. I think you'd be more, you know, especially with maybe the 13th pick, you'd be able to find that in the trade, I mean, in the draft, and not necessarily on free agency or by way of trade, because the market for shooters in the NBA is high.
Yes.
Like, you're going to have to, you know, those guys aren't growing on trees. And
they're
you can
in
just,
demand.
And they're in demand. I mean, exactly. It. Everybody needs that.
Yeah.
And
so that's what I think the team needs. But as far as, and I, you know, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah.
But as far as what you need from, if you're going to go out and get a big name player, I'm with you. It's got to be somebody who brings you some offensive oomph.
Yes. Who's not just standing in the corner waiting. You know, he has to be an impactful player. I don't know who – is it a Jeremy Grant? I think it could be.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I can see it.
You know, Keegan and Jeremy Harrison Barnes, they're both – you know, they're good players, but too often this year they were just like,
I think when you look at the Kings, and let's have a real conversation about this, going into next season, we know we have Fox, Sabonis, and Keegan as our three starters. Do you think we need to upgrade – at the 2 and 4 position?
Yeah, I think
like,
that's
is Keon Ellis a starter or no?
Ideally, no.
Ideally,
I've got somebody who can, who's more experienced and who can score a little more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, I don't think it's terrible if he is my starter, but I sure would like to upgrade there offensively.
Yeah.
Because the offense was a problem this year.
And that's why I say Zach LaVine at the 2 would be an upgrade. Who's the guy at the 4? Is it Jeremy Grant, like we talked about?
It's so hard now because guys are, you know, is he a 4? Is he a 3? When a lot of them, it's like, take your pick.
Take your pick. Wing or, I don't know. I feel like whoever you get at that position has to have some size, better size than Harrison Barnes. Like, HB, fantastic. You know, I'm a big fan of HB, but I need a 6'9", 6'10 guy with some length.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Najee Marshall even fits that bill as a starter. Like,
I
feel like we're undersized in the front court, and we need some size out there. I don't know. I wish we – shoot, give me Kristaps Porzingis. If we could have – like, if we could have had Porzingis or something like that, he would have been a perfect fit.
But I think you and I are on the same page in that if they're going to make a trade for somebody, it's got to be somebody who you bring in and other teams go, oh, they got – whoever.
Yeah.
You know, like, whoa.
Right. I and especially if you're going to give up the assets that we're talking about, the draft capital that we're talking about, too.
Would you trade Keegan if you could get that guy? And I know it's theoretical, like, well, I need to know who, but would you consider? Last year I said no. This year I'm like,
Me, it would have to be one of the dudes. Like, I wouldn't, like, Jeremy Grant, no. Kyle Kuzma, no. Like, it'd have to be a top 10, 15, 20 guaranteed all-star talent. I wouldn't move Keegan, no. Because, and I'll talk about this tomorrow in the State of the Union, State of the Kings address.
I'm looking forward to
this. Yeah, I'm excited about that. And I know Stiles and Watkins talked about it. As hard as I've been on Keegan, and as much as I want to see more from him, his first 2 years have been pretty decent. They've been pretty – he's not Paolo Banchero, but he's been better than Jaden Ivey, picked right behind him. Like, Keegan is on a good trajectory right now. The book is not finished and written on Keegan Murray as of yet.
What – and this just interests me. I know you said top 20. I'm just going to throw out a name, like a cutoff. Are we talking Mikal Bridges?
Yeah, I would – yes, I would get him. If I could get him, I'd be very happy.
You take it, you spend Keegan for Mikal Bridges?
Oh, I didn't know that was
That's the question I'm at. Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Depending on what else I have to give up, I'd consider it.
Okay. So that's kind of like your cutoff about is Mikal Bridges.
Because I'm figuring I got to give up three number ones at least. And if Keegan counts as one of those and I only have two picks in Keegan, I'd consider
that. See, I think if you're throwing Keegan in there, you might be able to sneak out, you know, maybe. But you might be right.
I don't know if I do that, Jay.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, so what's like, and I know you say top 20. Top 20 is like a Kyrie Irving. You know,
right, it got to be a star, dude. Yeah. It got to be. Because you're not only giving him up, you probably got to give up some picks, too. Like, and Mikal Bridges is 27. And right. I know that's sort of on the same timeline as Domas and De'Aaron. Keegan's only 23. Like,
okay.
Let's not forget, too, Mikal Bridges wasn't Mikal Bridges till he went to Brooklyn. Like, in Phoenix, he was he was a good player, but nobody thought he was a. Right.
Because he had so many other talented players with him.
And that's where I think Keegan is. Like, you got Domas, you got De'Aaron. He's sort of, you know.
So you if I'm reading right, Drapes, you think Keegan is Mikal Bridges on the Nets if you flip-flop him and Mikal Bridges.
Right. I think Keegan can become Mikal Bridges.
Okay,
yes.
So then how about like a Chris? Okay, let's use what you said. Kristaps Porzingis.
I love Kristaps.
Because now he's not a top 20, but he's like a 50.
Yeah,
but you know what he is, a 40 or, you know, somewhere around there.
Yeah, and he's only 28. Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis is good.
So that makes you think. So that's kind of like your cutoff.
Porzingis is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about this? Keegan for Pascal Siakam.
I like Pascal, but I don't know if Pascal, Fox, and Sabonis makes you a championship contender.
So you're looking for...
I would do that, but I couldn't get him for that.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
And he's so happy now in Indiana and everything.
So you're kind of looking for pretty much a pre-built star.
Yes.
That's kind of what you're saying. Yeah.
Yes. Because I'm actually bullish on Keegan at this very moment. Now, if we're having this conversation next year... That's why I think this offseason is so important for him, guys. Like, he has to show us that he's ready to take that leap where he's knocking on the all-star door, where he's knocking on 20 points per game. That needs to happen next season for him.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, why did the Kings blow so many leads this year? Ooh. And what can they do about it? What should they be thinking of doing about that? And we have Howard Beck, top of the hour. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports. I have a feeling this could be a really unusual, maybe even downright bizarre NBA offseason. Did I imagine this, or did I see J.J. Redick is interviewing to become the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets?
Yes.
Come on, what?
it's bizarre, man. It's
they're interviewing a lot of different people.
Yeah, Lindsey Harding was up for that job. Jordy was up for the job before he got the Brooklyn job. And so J.J. Redick, like... Dude's broadcasting a game right now or something, right? I mean, it's like, and now just go right into the coaching booth?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what Doc did.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. You remember? In Orlando, he was...
That's what Mark Jackson did.
Yeah, Mark Jackson, too. I don't know. J.J. Redick? What makes, like, is it his takes that are good? Like, you know...
I guess it's his breakdowns. Doesn't he do some really breakdowns in his pod with LeBron?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I read somewhere he's already got a commitment to LeBron on that pod for like
it's supposed to be a great one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it or listened to it, but I heard it's good.
Yeah. Kyle Draper has breaking news for us. We have word on the NBA's most improved player of the year.
When it breaks,
we have it first.
It's Sacktown Sports breaking news.
From the NBA, Dateline about 10 minutes ago. Tyrese Maxey is the second player to win the Kia NBA Most Improved Player Award, with the Sixers joining Dana Barros, who won it in 94-95. Shout out to Tyrese Maxey, outlasting Kobe White of the Chicago Bulls and Alperen Şengün. Tyrese Maxey, Most Improved Player.
I already thought he was really good.
Right?
Yeah, this kind of reminds me. Didn't Ja get Most Improved?
He did.
I mean, he's really good.
But Tyrese, an all-star
this
year, and congrats to him, man. He's amazing.
Now he's going to feel all better after last night. It's not going to bother him at all.
I don't know about that. Get his little shiny new trophy, and you know, that'll make it feel all better, right? 25.9 points per game for Tyrese.
Good ball player.
That's impressive. Mm-hmm. That is impressive.
Let's see. So tomorrow, do we have another?
Yes. Sixth man of the year tomorrow will be announced. Malik Monk, Naz Reid, and who am I missing? The third player.
Bobby Portis,
yes, exactly. So this time tomorrow, a little bit earlier, right around 4:15 or so, we'll have the results of the sixth man of the year.
Yeah, and if Malik doesn't win, you can come down and join us, and we're going to march from here all the way across country to the league offices if Malik doesn't win.
Do they I don't think they released the voting yet on these things, like which writer voted for which, because –
the writers may do it individually. In fact, I think Howard Beck just did.
Did he put his out there?
Yeah. So I think it may be up to the writers.
Yeah, I want to see who didn't vote for Malik tomorrow and you know, just cold call him. Like, how come you ain't vote for our guy? You know what I mean? Like, just call him out of the blue.
Yeah. So. But we can ask Howard Beck that. We probably should save it, though, for the end. Oh, before we let you go.
Right.
Yeah. So why, how is it, Kyle? Why is it that the Kings blew so many leads this year and lost so many games to teams that they should have beaten? And not so that we can, you know, gnash our teeth in the darkness about it, but so we can figure out what they do about it. What happened? Harrison Barnes said there were too many games we didn't have the right mindset.
Yeah.
That's troubling.
That's a great question. I still cannot put my finger on why this team gave up so many leads.
Was it because maybe they took so many threes even when they weren't falling? And obviously, you know, when you have a lead and you're missing shots, you're just handing the opportunity to the other team to come back.
I think, you know, when you look at it, that could be part of it. Guys just get tight. Their booties get tighter. You know, like when a team is making a run, you know, we see it. Whether it's turnovers, missed shots, our guys just play all of a sudden tight, you know? And I think when you looked at last season, you know, not this past one, but the one before, we had a lot of comeback wins. I think it's easier to play from behind than with the lead. Because if you play from behind and you get a couple of baskets, then the momentum starts going. Mm-hmm. When you're playing with the lead and another team gets it, then the pressure gets put back on you. And I feel like our guys got tight this year when teams made runs.
I also think that the fact that the Kings' half-court offense wasn't what they wanted it to be, that contributes, because that's when another team's making a run, how do you stave it off? One of the things is you run some clock and you run your offense. And if you're effective running your offense and you make your free throws, you can resist the comeback. But the Kings' half-court offense, a lot of times this year, it stagnated. The other thing is, for much of the year, you know, they were a really bad defensive team for the first half of the year. And again, how can you protect a lead when you can't stop the other team?
Yeah. You're right about that. And, you know, I also think we don't have run stoppers. We don't have, outside of De'Aaron, the guy you can just give the ball to get us a bucket. And, you know, as great as De'Aaron is, he's still a small, you know, slight of frame, you know. And so we don't have that guy that can just put his head down. And I'll be honest with you, too. I'm watching the Lakers-Denver game yesterday, and they were talking about how LeBron controlled the pace of the game.
Were you wearing a Laker jersey?
Nah, the Laker underoos, actually. I had the Laker underoos on. But our guys don't know how to control the pace of the game.
Right.
You know? Yeah. We've talked about it. Like, we want them to play fast. Mike's... we haven't even been able to do that. And so I think we play at the other team's pace, at the other team's mercy. We don't dictate how the game is going to be played. So I think that's a part of it too.
From Hey Hey Johnny K, says the Kings are missing their free throws, not just this year, past years too. We need to be better with our free throws. That's another part of protecting a lead. Make your free throws.
Right.
You're not going to like this from the 831. But remember, keep an open mind, Drapes. We're open to all ideas here. I love Fox and don't want to make it seem like I don't. But would it be worth trading him if the right trade were to come along that makes sense?
I don't know which trade that would make sense that would come along. Are you trading De'Aaron for Anthony Edwards? Like, it has to be the guy. Like, it doesn't make sense. And so I'm not going to rip the 831, whoever sent that in, but what are we talking about? It's like, it would be if you're the Bucks and you say, we had a subpar year. Should we trade Giannis if the right trade? Like, it just doesn't make sense. What's the right? Are you sending me Jokic back in return? Like, there's only a handful of guys, maybe 10. And this, are we getting Tatum back? No. So it doesn't make sense. What are we doing?
I think a guy of that caliber, when he gets traded now, you go back just last year to Portland, it typically means if a team's going to trade a guy like De'Aaron Fox, it means that we give up. We're starting over.
We're hitting a reset. We're not there. We're not there in Sacramento.
And I know that's
we're
not
looking
what you're suggesting.
Add to De'Aaron
Fox.
Yeah,
so nobody's going to give you a fair value for him at this point.
Exactly. We're looking to add to De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis. I said it yesterday, and I thought about it again today. I would like to see the ball in De'Aaron's hands even more. Even more of a playmaker. Even more of a facilitator. He averaged 5.6 assists per game this season, and the offense ran through Domas. And I know he was still high on usage, but I would like to see more De'Aaron Fox with the ball in his hands. You know?
We'll continue to try to figure this out in the weeks ahead when we come back, though. This is encouraging news. Howard Beck, senior NBA writer for The Ringer. He tells us why he says the Kings will most assuredly be back in the mix when he joins us next on Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.